Last week, we began a series entitled Holy. Our theme this year is Holy. I know this title doesn't sell books or conferences. However, I believe it's a message that we need to hear. Be holy simply means to be set apart. It means to be pure. It means to be other. God has not called us, followers of Jesus, to be with the crowd. He's called us to stand out. First Peter, he writes this letter and he calls them exiles. He calls these people to be distinct and different. And that is why when you start living for Jesus, it seems as though your friend group starts to change. Jokes that you thought used to be funny are no longer funny anymore. You start looking at your friends and people you're around, and you start to make this assumption, and you say that they've changed. But when you look in the mirror, you realize they didn't change. You're the one changing. That when you start to live for Christ, God will start to convict you in new ways. And that does not mean you're going further away from Christ. That's a reminder that you're getting closer to Christ. And so our goal for you when you come to Crossover is not for you to attend church. Y'all too busy for that. Our goal for you is to have an encounter with the living God. Because I've played that game where I just attended church and went back home and nothing's changed except my ego. But it's something about when you don't have time to waste, that when you wake up in the morning, you come and sit in that seat, and your prayer should be, God, speak to me, Lord, in a new way. To have an encounter with the living God. So Peter is writing this letter to believers who were going through trials, difficult circumstances, and they were grieving. He's telling them that once Christ is revealed, they will end up praising God, giving glory to God, and honoring God. Verse 6, it says that when you go through trials, you should rejoice greatly because the trial that you're going through is for a little while. Now, here's the thing. If you're like me, a little while can be 10 minutes. It can be a day. It could be a month. But we serve an eternal God. That when we go through trials and difficulties, a little while in the kingdom of God is your whole life. Because you live for an eternity. Life is but a vapor. And he says that there's going to be a moment when Jesus comes back, you're going to give him honor, praise, and glory. And the grief and the suffering is for a little while. Most of you know this. I teach at a Southfield Christian. And on Wednesday at 4:30 p.m., the basketball coach comes in, blows the whistle, boop, bring it in, everybody, bring it in. Practice is over. One more play happens. A kid hits his head against the wall, falls out, 10 minutes later dies. This week, fifth grader, playing basketball at a Christian school. The Bible says there's going to be a day where that mother looks back, where you're going to give me praise, honor, and glory when you see me again or when I come back. And what God would say to that mother who's grieving right now, what your experience is going to be a little while. Now, I know listening to that, a little while, but when you understand having an internal perspective, when you really have a long view of your life, that when you pass away, you don't pass away. That when your eyes close, they open in eternity. There is going to be a day. Can you imagine that day? So much grief, and some of you have loved ones, family members. There's going to be a day when you cross over and you wake up your eyes. You're going to see Jesus, your father, your mother, your cousin, every single person that you lost, and you're going to give honor and glory to the Father because this life can never give you what you think. And Peter is saying there's going to be some trials in life, some difficulties in life. It's just for a little while. But when Christ is revealed, he makes all things new. He wipes away every tear. We have to start having an eternal perspective on life. With fires and with this happening in life and all these calamities. It's like sometimes, I'll be honest with you, New Year's celebration, I'm just staying at the crib. No, I'm being, seriously. So I'm like, I don't even want to go where the crowd goes because people crazy nowadays. Something in our hearts, if you're following Jesus, should say, isn't there something better than this? Something ain't right because this is not our home. Our hearts should long for something that's not here. We long for Jesus to come back. Don't get it twisted. He's coming back, everybody. Or we get to see him, and when that day comes, it's like everything's going to be revealed to us in a new way, and we're going to drop to our knees and say, oh, holy, holy, holy. Verse 13, he says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. He says, therefore, now that you understand to have an eternal perspective, he says, I need your mind to be alert and to be fully sober, to set your hope on when Jesus returns. Now, I didn't do this because I'm holy, but I know y'all did this. My parents come to this church. Sometimes I got to set the record straight. You remember when your parents went out of town, we'll be back in about 2 weeks. You was cutting up. I mean, they didn't have a GPS on your device or anything. Man, mom and dad, they gone for 2 weeks. You partying and everything, right? You was acting a fool. But then the last day, you would invite your friends over. You would start to clean up the house, right? But if your parents said, hey, we about to leave right now. Hey, mom, hey, dad, when y'all coming back? We just coming back. Because you didn't know, stick with me. When they were returning, you acted holy because at any time they could come back. See, the reason some of us aren't acting holy right now is because you think you have more time. But if you lived your life as if Jesus could come back at any moment, instantaneously, you would live holy. And I'm reminded that we think we have more time. Boop, bring it in. Team on three. Hit his head, falls down. I'm pretty sure his mother and father, when they kissed him and they went into the school, thought they had more time. The Bible says there's an appointed time and then judgment. And I don't know. I'm at a Christian school. They're asking me questions. I don't know. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord. I don't know. I have questions. But not to scare you, but to prepare you, if you knew Jesus was coming back today or tomorrow, it would change your posture and how you live. And I'm reminded, if you have any aught with a family member or a friend, don't live your life where you'd regret it because you think you guys have more time. It's a reminder to me to make sure that I live in peace with every single person that I come by. Why? Because I don't want to live with regret. I want to empty myself before my friends and family because I don't want to just give them flowers at the funeral and they didn't know how I made them feel or they made me feel. And 1 Peter verse 14 says, as obedient children. Now notice this. He said, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's presupposing that you're obedient. He's presupposing that you're following him. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. I refuse to pastor an ignorant church. Ignorant doesn't mean you're dumb. Ignorant doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you don't know. Pastor, what's your goal, to have 1,000 people? No, my goal is not to pastor an ignorant church. My goal is when you see the Father, you can't say, he didn't tell me. Can I step on your shoes? Because I want to make sure that you're not ignorant. When Peter's talking about living a holy life, he's saying that all of us in this room who claim the name of Jesus should live an obedient life. When you lived in ignorance, there should have been a time before you came to Christ, you didn't know. But now that you have a relationship with Jesus, you know better. And if you know better, you would what? Do better. But some of us are in rebellion because we refuse to follow him. You already know what to do. And see, when you already know what to do and you don't follow him, you're in rebellion. I want you to think about that. There are some things perhaps that the Lord has been pressing you to do and you have not done it yet. That's rebellion. Partial obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When the Lord tells you to do something, we need to do it now. If you're like me, sometimes you're trying to be Junior Holy Ghost because we think we know better than God. Whatever God's gonna do in your life is something that you haven't thought about, to remind you and your cousins and your friends that he gets the glory. That is why there are some times in your life, whether you're starting a business or stepping out on faith, you think that people should support you more. The reason sometimes people don't support you, don't get mad at them, it's God blocking the way so he gets the glory. So when you finally open up the business, it wasn't your sorority, it wasn't your network, it was the Lord that opened the door. He says, do not live in ignorance, rebellion. If you're here today and I love you as your pastor, I don't want you to live in ignorance. If you're here today and you're sleeping with someone, not your wife or husband, you're in rebellion. I don't care if y'all got 5 kids and y'all shacking up together as if you're a family. That's sin. Listen to me. And if it doesn't bother you, you're probably not saved. Because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you the moment of conversion. And there should be some conviction inside of you. I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying this to love you. If you're comfortable about gossiping and all your friends come to you to get the latest news, the latest tea, and they keep coming to you, you're the first phone call. See, everybody was with me when I talked about sleeping around, but when I talk about gossip, hey, I'm coming to you this year. It might not be this sermon. Now, the good news for me, he comes to me all week. I just preach from the overflow. That's not living a holy lifestyle. See, some of you already got it set up right now. You already know who you claiming on your taxes who aren't your kids. See, y'all looking straight at me right now. You ain't even flinching. You like... Not living a holy lifestyle. What am I talking about? I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about progression. We're all going to fall down, but I'm talking about where you know what to do and you refuse to do it, and we think we have more time. There is one day you're going to meet a holy God, and you and I are going to have to get an account, and you are not going to be able to say, Pastor didn't tell me. That's my goal. Then why you didn't do it? That's rebellion. And we're praying for God to bless us, do this and do that. And we wonder why we can't hear from God. Because if, Listen, it's so interesting how we can hear, man, God wants to do this in my life. He wants to do this in my life. But you can never hear the Lord telling you to stop doing something you're not supposed to do. What the Lord didn't tell me, it's in his word. Stop doing that. Lord didn't tell me to stop sleeping. He doesn't have to tell you. It's in his word. He's called us to live a holy life. So I got to make sure that I can't just watch everything. I can't just listen to everything. Yes, there are some moments, perhaps when you're watching TV, where you're like, you know what, it's going a little too far. I'm not being legalistic. But maybe there's a time you went to the movies, you're like, I got to walk out of here. This isn't beneficial for me. And it doesn't mean I have to post it on Facebook and tell everybody they can't see the movie. That just means for me, where I'm going, I can't be around that. Why? I'm not going to let anything thwart my destiny or my peace. So that's why I got to have peace with everybody. If you have unforgiveness, bitterness in your heart, you're not living a holy life. He says, that's how we lived when we were ignorant, when we didn't know. Now that we do know, we're called to be obedient children. Now we should have new desires, not selfish desires. I know the word says in James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, you have not because you ask not. We love that scripture. God will give you the desires of your heart. Like, we know that verse, right? But it says that you have not because you ask not, because when you ask for pleasures that are selfish. So when I pray, God does answer. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says slow. He always answers prayers. Sometimes you just don't like the answer because it's no. I thought he gives me the desires of my heart. It says when you delight yourself in the Lord, when you spend time with him, he will give you the desires of your heart when you commit your ways to him. So as I'm delighting myself with the Lord, I'm emptying out my selfish pleasures, and he's filling me up with his pleasures. It's an exchange. So it's when my desires start to conform to his desires. Here's the last verse I'm preaching today, 15 and 16. I got 20 minutes on that clock. Here we go. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I'm holy. Be holy because I'm holy. Now notice what it says. Look at the text, everybody. It says, he who's called you to be holy. Pastor, he's called me to reach 1 million people. He's called me to open up my business. He's called me to be rich and successful. He's called me all the, he's called you to be holy. Let's start there. Don't think about anything else until we start living a lifestyle of being holy. He's called me to preach to the nations. Are you living holy? Isn't it interesting we can hear all about what God's going to do in our life, but very rarely do we hear about how God has called us to live a holy life. He says, be holy, not to get holy. I've called you holy, so now be holy. Okay, you missed it. I'm not trying to get holy. I'm already holy, now be holy. Okay. Which means this. He's saying this. Just be who God has called you to be. Oh, okay. Okay. He's saying this. Can I Nethonize it for you, make it plain for you? Don't be a paper plate. Okay. Like if you come to my house on July 4th, you're going to get a paper plate. If you drop the paper plate, who cares? Oh, that's cute. You drop, just leave it there. We'll get it later. You just drop the paper plate. Everybody does that. It's nothing. It's a paper play. Everybody's sleeping around. Everybody gossiping, everybody unforgiveness, everybody just watching what they want to watch. Who cares? It's a paper plate. And the reason we don't live holy lives because we see ourselves as paper plates. But if you start to recognize your value, you will stop hanging around, being around, acting and behaving like a paper plate. The word holy means to be set apart. Okay, this is old school right here. Some of your parents, grandparents, they have that room in their house with white carpet. You know where I'm going. You better not what? Step. They vacuumed it one time in 1945, and you can still see the creases. It's the holy of holies. Got the grandfather clock, and what else do they have there? Come on, somebody. Plastic on the couch, and then they got that cabinet that's set apart with fine china. There's only one time a year that you can grab the dishes, but every other day is paper plates. They have it over there because it's set apart. I wish I had some fine china today. Matter of fact, I do. It's set apart. Y'all missed it. I was already preaching the sermon before I started preaching the sermon. Because the fine china is set apart. See, when God calls you, he transfers you. From no longer being a paper plate, he calls you out of darkness, out of ignorance. He sets you apart. He calls you out some things. Single ladies, I'm preaching right now. Problem is, you keep trying to hang around paper plates. Different name. Same problems, same issues. If you go where paper plates are, you will end up getting a paper plate. You are called to be set apart. That a man should be so hidden in Christ, they gotta seek him before they find you. It's set apart. He's not called us to do what everybody else is doing. Pastor, I don't know what to do. Just do the opposite of what everybody else is doing. He's called you to be set apart. What do you want to be? What'd your pastor preach about? He preached on paper plates. Can I ask you a question? Do you want to be a paper plate this year? Or do you want to be fine china? The Bible says that you are valuable. You are wonderfully made. If you know your value, if you know what God has put inside of you, it will change the way you operate and behave. You should just tell yourself, I'm fine china. So why do we need to be holy? Why should you be holy today? Why pursue holiness? We pursue holiness because God has called us holy. We pursue holiness because God has called us holy. That's why. That's it. Is that simple enough? The reason I'm pursuing holiness is because he's already called me holy. Now, this is interesting. Before I tell you what holiness is, I'm going to tell you what holiness is not. Because I believe the problem is some of us are already turned off on this series. I already know why. Because you've had bad experiences with people talking about holiness. I'm going to set the record straight today, and I'm going to go home and watch the game today from a paper plate. Amen, somebody. Holiness is not, listen to me, this will help you today if you're taking notes, I promise you. Holiness is not legalism. Holiness is not legalism. Holiness is not the root of your salvation. Holiness is the fruit of your salvation. Okay, let me back that thing up. Holiness is not the root of your salvation. It's the fruit of your salvation. Some of you here, you thought you had to do certain things in order to be saved. That's legalism. Ladies can't wear makeup. Please, wear makeup in the church. Amen, if you need to. It's okay with me. We going through this series together. I got to guard my mind and heart. We thought that, lady, you couldn't wear jeans to church. It was all about your clothes. It's not about clothes. It's about your soul. Stick with me. Stick with me. But when you get your soul right, it might change the way you wear your clothes. The problem is the church now, they've been getting mad at some people off the street coming into the church. I can't believe she wearing that. You cannot clean a fish before you catch a fish. It's not my responsibility to change anybody. It's my responsibility to love you exactly where you're at. It's not legalism. It's the evidence of God's work in your life. Holiness is not a prerequisite for his grace. Now, I'm going to challenge some of us in this room today because I'm going to dare to say this. I've been pastoring now for about 8 years here at this church, been serious about my walk now, discipling people for 12 years or so. I would say 80% of the people operate in legalism. 80%. Problem is, you don't know you operate under legalism. If you think you have to do something for God to love you, smile on you, or bless you, that's legalism. We about to go on this fast. If you think by you going on this fast, God's going to cha-ching pull the lever as if you're at Chuck E. Cheese putting in a quarter, pulling the lever so God can do something on your behalf, that's legalism. The fast is not twisting God's arm to do something. God is already doing something. You just don't know. The fast is to separate myself from distractions to join into the activity that God is already doing in my life. But I'm so distracted, I don't even know what he's doing. He's already moving. He's already answering prayer. He's already working it out on my behalf. The fast is removing the paper plates out of my life so I can see what the Lord is already doing. He's already moving. You think God in heaven starts to move when you stop eating the cheeseburger? The angels in heaven. Right when you put that celery in your mouth. Okay, angels, go ahead and do it now. That's what we think. We think we're in an arm wrestling match with God. Okay, if I can just do the right thing, if I can just get in the right environment, it's like, God, okay, God's going to let me win now. It's not legalism. I got 9 minutes to preach. Oh, my God. Holiness is not perfectionism. Holiness does not mean being sinless in this life. It means being set apart and striving to grow in righteousness as we acknowledge our imperfections. You gonna blow it, I'm gonna blow it. It's not perfection, but it's progression. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, live lives so everyone sees your progress. Here's the crazy thing, because we'll look at somebody, perhaps somebody's been sleeping around and just like, oh, they still sleeping around. Well, a few years ago, it was 20 people they were sleeping around with. This year, it was 3. But you keep sleeping with the same joker for 20 years. Who's more holy? I see the progress in his or her life, but I don't see the progress in your life. See, you want God to deliver them instantaneously, but you can't be delivered from cigarettes for the last 30 years. See, the Holy Ghost isn't just to make you fall out. The Holy Ghost is to prepare you and equip you to live an obedient life. It's not perfectionism. The Bible says in 1 John 1:10, it says, if anyone says they do not have sin, they're a what? A liar. But dear children, here's the good news, that we have a what? An advocate, a defense attorney that goes on our behalf. Here's the good news. So when you sin and the enemy comes and says, look at her, look at him, you have a defense attorney. All you have to do is plead the fifth. You don't even got to say anything, because you don't stand on trial. Jesus stands on trial. Evidence A, look at my hands. Evidence B, look at my feet. I died on the cross for them. And it says he's making atonement for the sins of the world. It's not perfectionism, but it should be some progression. Holiness is not instantaneous. Holiness is a lifelong process requiring the work of the Spirit and our participation. How do I know some of us are legalists? Because you're already thinking right now, okay, I'm gonna give up this, but I'm not gonna give up that. Legalism. I can't do that. Stop saying what you can't do. The Bible says that the flesh, there's nothing good inside of us, but the Holy Spirit can do what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Your responsibility is to yield to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we say, no, I'm not going to give up this, can't give up that, I'm not going to give up this music, I'm not going to give up that, I'm not going to do that. That is legalism, because you want control of what the Lord wants to do in your life. It's not instantaneous. Everybody's journey is different. But when you yield to the Holy Spirit, what I've learned is sometimes we try to live Christian lives apart from the Spirit working in our lives. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to be a comforter, is also to be a convictor inside of you. The Holy Spirit will lead you to what? All truth. And so I'm saying, if you want to live a holy life, don't take my word for it. Take the word for it and yield to the Holy Spirit. Holiness is not freedom from temptation. I don't care how holy you think you are. You get put in the wrong environment on the wrong day, you're going to fall. I ain't going to fall. Be careful. That's arrogant. Be careful. When you stand, I ain't going to fall, be careful, I ain't going to fall, oh, and then you just fall. Then you end up in something that you never thought you'd be in. You're still going to be tempted. So there's some things I don't do. It's not because I don't like it, it's because I do like it. You missed it. You missed it. So I don't put myself in those environments. You got to create guardrails in your life. What are guardrails? Guardrail is something when you're on the freeway that you hit before you get to the danger. Okay. So there's certain guardrails in my life that are there that prevents me from even having an opportunity to fall. And I said this before, and I love you, but if you're a female in my church and I'm on the way to church and it's snowing and raining outside, you're going to get wet. You're just going to get wet. Ain't pastor ain't pick me up. Nope, sure didn't. I'll see you at church, baby. Not even putting myself in that position. The Bible says don't even have a hint of sexual immorality. Don't even put yourself in a position where someone can see, perhaps can accuse you. Now, I said it before. If you see me coming out the liquor store late at night, I'm not getting liquor. Antonio's Liquor Store has the best pizza in town. Amen. So if you see me, somebody know what I'm talking about. At 11 o'clock, coming out the liquor store with a paper bag. Amen. I got liquor if it's a paper bag. But if I got some pizza in my hand, tell the whole story. I saw Pastor in. Why you judging? Why you there? Why you there? I just want to know why you there. Holiness is not optional. It's not optional. That's for super Christians. You're just a super Christian. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, without holiness, no one sees the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the Lord disciplining children that he loves. He disciplines the children that he loves. That's why you can't get caught up in, man, it's like the Lord is just beating me up. He ain't beating nobody else up on the job. I'm the only one convicted. Now, I've said this before, but if I'm with my kids at the supermarket, my responsibility is to make sure my kids are not acting up. Now, if your kids act up, that's on you. I'm not going to discipline your kids because they're not my kids. Okay. The reason why the Lord sometimes, it seems as though he's not disciplining the friends around you because they're somebody else's kids. He chastises and disciplines his own. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12, he disciplines us so we can share in his holiness. Why is he doing it? I'm in the book. Why is he doing it? So we can become holy. So we can look like him. He's already called you holy. Now be holy. So what is holiness? Holiness is separation from sin and dedication to God. Holiness is not just separation from sin. Y'all all right? It's separation from sin and dedication to God. But the more you dedicate yourself to God and you become preoccupied with God, the less you will have thoughts about sinning. Some of us actually learned about sinning in church because they gave you ideas you weren't even thinking about. So we know some of y'all kids after service go out in the back and start smoking and doing all that. I ain't never thought about that. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Do you know that? This is legalism right here. You can walk in the back of our church and not even think about there's paint on the wall. But if we put a sign that says, don't touch, you know some of your kids don't touch. And so that's what happens sometimes. It's because that's legalism sometimes. Good-fearing people told you about what not to do, which actually gave you an appetite to actually do it. It's separation from sin, but a dedication to God. The more you dedicate yourself to the Lord, the less and less you will think about sinning. You're so preoccupied with the Lord, you don't have time to think about sinning. But when your mind is idle, that's all you think about. Every single person in this room, if you want to live a holy life, I'll give you a key to the church. Y'all should be the best servers in the church if you're single with no kids. I'll give you a key. Just come in here every time you want to sin and just sit in that seat and start praying for me. I'm telling you. Why? You got too much time on your hands. You sin not because you want to. You sin because you're bored. So can I just ask you this question as I get ready to take my seat? I'm over time, but it's good preaching. Amen, somebody. I'll give it back to you when somebody else is preaching. Can I just ask you a simple question? I'm halfway done. I told you I wasn't going to be before you long. I'm sorry. Where is the hole in your holiness? Where is the hole in your holiness today? What is the gap between you actually living a life that's pleasing to the Lord? Where's the hole? Come on, you might be able to fake your neighbor, but you can't fake God. He already knows. He's already pinpointed it today. We all have it. But I'm asking you as we go on the fast that God removes that desire out your mouth. Where's the hole in your holiness? Where is that area that's actually preventing you from having a dynamic relationship to the Lord? Where is your mind? Where is your thoughts on? What is the hole in your holiness? Jerry Bridges puts it this way: holiness is not a condition into which we drift. It is a pursuit we deliberately choose to follow. You don't just drift into holiness. You got to deliberately follow a plan to live a holy lifestyle. See, some of us this year, you got fitness plans, you got financial plans. Do you have a holiness plan? Because if not, you're just drifting by the wayside. You got to deliberately choose to live a lifestyle that's pleasing and holy to the Lord. Take inventory over your life. What I'm not saying is this, especially young people, listen to me. Because you want to be on fire for God, and so you go home, you throw all your CDs away, and I'm throwing all my music away, I'm throwing all this away and stuff like that, and you're doing it, but you never filled yourself with anything. So you return back to it. See, I remember Kanye West had this song called The Good Life. You remember what I'm talking about? Anybody know? How y'all know that? With T-Pain, right? I remember just driving the car, welcome to the good life. That's exactly how it sounded. And that was my jam, and I was like, it's Kanye, it ain't even bad. I'm talking about, this is pre-crazy Kanye. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I mean, that was my, man, just riding on the lot, welcome to the good life. You're like, you know what I'm talking about? Then one day, I started to listen to the song. The song was always playing. But my ears started to perk up. My heart started to listen. The good life wasn't the good life according to the word. It wasn't that I threw it away. The Lord started to convict me and open my ears and my heart in a fresh way where he took away that appetite. Can I be honest with you? There's sometimes I have throwbacks where I just say, you know, let me throw it back to a song I used to jam to. And I start listening to it, and it's like the appetite's not there. That desire is gone. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That maybe even in your family, there's a certain way you used to eat, and now you're vegans or you're something else right now. And it's like, I'm looking at that. There's no way that I could do that. But your palate has changed. That if you went back, it would cause you to be sick even though you used to enjoy it. That's what I'm talking about. When you start to get in God's presence, you might even have a moment where you go back, but you won't enjoy it the same way because your spiritual palate has changed. So here it is. What is holiness? Holiness is my identity. That's what holiness is. I'm not trying to be holy to get holy. I'm already holy. On my worst day, if you're a believer, you're holy. Let me free you. You're holy. The question is, are you living holy? Holiness is my identity. But belief, listen to me, drives behavior. Legalism is my behavior, changes my belief. If I think that I'm a paper plate, I'm going to live like a paper plate.
Oh, good.
If I think I'm fine china, I'm going to start to live separate like I am fine china. If you keep making paper plate decisions, it is because you think like paper plate people. But if you start to think like fine china, you will start to live a life that is holy to the Lord. My mind has to change first. Repentance is metanoia. It means to change my mind. And when I change my mind, it'll change my behavior. Is this making sense today? I'm already holy. On my worst day, I'm holy. When you sin, you're still holy. Okay. Then how can you ever come into his presence if you're not? The Bible says to step boldly to the throne of grace in your time of need so you can receive grace and mercy. When I step into God's presence, the reason I can go into his presence is because what Christ has already done for me. Holiness is my identity. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, or excuse me, yeah, chapter 1 through 3 talks about you are forgiven, you are chosen, you are holy. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, now walk worthy to the manner I called you. In other words, belief comes before behavior. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Man, this message is a series, man. I'm mad at myself. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says this. And by that will, listen to me. And by that will, this writer is talking to people, these Jewish Christians, these legalists who wanted to go back to the old covenant. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Man, if I was at an old school Baptist church, they would have just shouted and ran right there. Let me just read it one more time for you. This will change your life right here, just reading this word. You have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. See, a lot of us believe in legalism. We believe that our debt isn't fully paid. That's why we keep paying monthly installments. God, please forgive me. God, please forgive. That's legalism. You think your words forgive you? The blood of Jesus forgives you. Y'all don't like this. Y'all don't like it. Without the blood, there's no remission of sins. He said on the cross, it is finished. Jesus sat down, and there's nothing you can do to get him back up. One time, he sat down, and he made us holy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Wait a minute. Verse 10, it said that we've been made holy. Verse 14, it says we're being made holy. Okay, let me say it. Come here. Verse 10, it says we've been made holy. Verse 14, we're being made holy. What's the answer? Both. Positionally, we are made holy. Practically, are you living holy? There is positional holiness, but then there's practical holiness. Positionally, the moment you give your life to Christ, you have been made holy. The question now is, are you living a life that is holy unto the Lord? He's making you holy. That's called sanctification. To be more and more like Christ, less and less like the world. So now our responsibility is to catch up to the person God has called us to be. Is this making sense? So what is holiness? Holiness is the goal. Have you heard this before? Holiness is the goal of salvation. That's the goal. Your purpose is not the goal of your salvation. God blowing your business account up is not the goal of salvation. It's so you can actually be what God's called you to be. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says to be conformed to the image of his son. Man, I thought we were made in the image of God. You are, but now be made into the image of the son. Now live it out as if you're made in the image of God. It's not the goal of salvation. I love what the Westminster Catechism says. It says that men's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's your purpose, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So when all your friends tell me, I don't know my purpose, it's to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We just boast in our weaknesses. So when someone gives you glory, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to make him look good. That's what glory means. Let me help everyone in ministry. Ministry will never give back what you give out. I was talking to a couple pastors this week. Man, they leaving me. It will never give back what you get out. Your fulfillment doesn't come from ministry, because if it does, that's idolatry. Your fulfillment comes with your relationship with the Lord. People will always disappoint you. And come here, pastor, you will always disappoint people. It's to enjoy him forever. So in other words, my relationship with Jesus, when I give glory to him, now I'm enjoying him, and that's where I get my joy from. That's where I get my comfort and my peace from, my relationship with him. Holiness is not about perfection, but we should strive for progression. Holiness is a work of God's grace. Holiness is a work of God's grace. Holiness is made possible through grace, through the sacrifice of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is participate in what he's doing. God is doing something in your life right now. You just don't know about it. And all you need to do is say, God, I yield to it right now. What am I yielding for or with? It doesn't matter. Let your yes be a yes before you know the outcome. See, some of us in this room, you want to give God your yes after he tells you what it is. That's why he never tells you what it is. Start living a life where, Lord, just yes. Just yes, whatever you want to do. Isaiah said, send me, I'll go. He didn't say, where are you taking me? Okay, I'll go. This is not a job. Your job does that. Where are they promoting you? Where are they sending me? They sending me down to Atlanta? They sending me down here? Then I'll go. No. It's just a yes. It's a work of God's grace. This is what I want to tell you. Please don't misconstrue this. Do not be ignorant. It is the Holy Spirit's job to change you. It is not my job. It is nobody else's job to change you. It's the Holy Spirit's job to change you. It's our job, now don't get it construed, to point you to the truth of God's word. Submit to God's word, and the Holy Spirit will direct you and change you. And the Holy Spirit will never tell you something different than his word. The Holy Spirit, he guides you to all truth. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. So for the next 21 days as you fast, Say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Do what needs to be done. I'm yielding to you right now. I'm putting myself in a position for you to do what you want to do in my life. Instead of saying, God, well, I'm never going to be that type of person. I'm never going to do that. Some of us already have it in our mind what we're allowing God to do in our lives. I'm never going to be one of those radical praisers. I'm gonna keep it right here. That's the reason why I actually grab coffee before I come into church, so it's not awkward during worship. Because if I don't have it, now I got to do something. It's like one person knows what I'm talking about. I mean, that's me, because if I go somewhere at a function, I'm that dude, right? I'm that dude. Let me, where the water at? So I can just look like, So if I'm just in a moment, nobody wants to talk to me, I just start drinking the water real slow. Thanks, good minerals. Stop telling the Holy Spirit what you want him to do in your life. Start just yielding to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And lastly, I'm finished. Sorry for going over. Holiness, this is important, is a response to God's love. Holiness is a response to God's love. Why are you living a holy life? Not to get God to love me. He already loves me. Since he already loves me, I'm going to live a holy life to please my Father. Grace comes before obedience. Grace gives you the desire and the power to be obedient. It is not if you do right. See, we think God is like one of the coaches on The Voice. Anybody know what The Voice is? That singing show? That if you just sing right, if you just do the right things, they'll hit the button and turn around and say, you're on my team. Some of us in the room, you really think God's like that? If you just start doing right, if you just start performing right. And there's some people on The Voice who are just singing and nobody turns around. Can you imagine that? And that's how we view God sometimes. You're doing the best that you can, singing the highest note that you can, trying to live the best that you can. And it's like, he didn't turn his chair towards me. I'm trying to tell you, before you step out on that stage, his chair is already turned. You don't have to perform. You don't have to sing a note. You don't have to open your mouth. All you have to say is yes. That's not in my notes. I'm telling you right now, the Lord is saying all you have to do is show up. And we live an obedient life out of love for him. He gives me the grace now to live an obedient life. And when I fall, and you will, and I will, he gives me the power to get back up and to keep pursuing him. Matter of fact, I don't even make it to him. He comes after me and picks me up. It's a response to God's grace. We're going to pray right now.